Yes, Aaron, this is probably the hardest job that I have all week now, is to keep you awake this afternoon. Somebody asked me before lunch, can you preach on a full stomach? And how does that work? I don't know. We're about to find out. It was a good lunch. Thank you very much. And I know this afternoon, it's a beautiful afternoon outside. Well, maybe we should just go outside in the parking lot and have church outside, but it probably wouldn't be a good idea, so I think we'll stay inside. And if I see too many heads nodding, I'm going to call on Clifton, and he can come up here, and he'll get you woke up again. I appreciate your energy, Clifton, in the songs, and yeah, what a blessing. It's been good to be here with you this week. I thoroughly enjoyed it, appreciated your hospitality, and yeah. Lots of good memories here from this week. So we've been talking about faithfulness and the challenge to be like Moses. Moses verily was faithful in all his house. Am I faithful in all my house? Are you faithful in all of your house? We explored somewhat what that looked like this week, some different challenging areas, and this morning we talked about Jesus coming back, his return. And when he returns, he's coming for the church, and he's going to take the faithful home with him. This afternoon, I'd like to focus a little bit on heaven, thinking about our new home, not so much the what it's like there, but I want to think about the people of heaven this afternoon. I invite you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Title of my message this afternoon, I'm going to call The Reward of the Faithful. Again, as thinking about heaven and the people of heaven. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 reads like this. It says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." The call here is that we would be faithful, and that we would be faithful unto death, and then we will receive our reward. We will receive our reward there in the glories of heaven. It's for the faithful. Heaven is for the faithful. Revelation 21:7 says, "He that overcometh," the overcomer, that's the faithful. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Friends, the overcomers, the faithful, we have a reward. We have an inheritance awaiting us. I found a survey. The Barna Group did a survey. This dates way back to 2003, and so I recognize that's old, and I'm not sure what the results would be today if they did this survey. But they did a survey on life after death, and kind of the conclusion of it was that the belief in life after death is widely embraced by Americans. It went on to say that 8 out of every 10 Americans, that's 81%, believed in an afterlife of some sort. 9% would have said that life after death may exist, but they weren't certain. Only 1 out of every 10 adults, that's 10%, contended that there was no form of afterlife after one dies. 79% of Americans agreed with the statement, "Every person has a soul that will live forever, either in God's presence or in His absence." Most Americans do not expect to experience hell firsthand. Most Americans don't expect that. It went on to say, 0.5% expect to go to hell on their death. 0.5%. said they expect that. Nearly two-thirds of the Americans, 64%, believe that they will go to heaven. Among those who expect to go to heaven, there were differences in how they anticipate such an end would be attained. 43% believe that they will go to heaven because they have confessed their sins and they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. 15% felt that they will get to heaven because they have tried to obey the Ten Commandments. And another 15% said because they are basically a good person, they expect to get to heaven. Another 6% believe that entrance to heaven would be based upon the fact that God loves all people and will not let them perish. One of the interesting things in that was concluded from this survey, an intriguing finding was that all, with all this research, was that the educated and the higher income people gave a negative correlation in their belief in heaven and hell. In other words, the more educated a person was and the more income that they earned, the less likely they believed that heaven and hell existed. John Newton, he's the author of Amazing Grace, the song that we sing. He was talking to a man one day about heaven. This man was an unbeliever. And this unbelieving man decided that he was going to have a little fun with this poor old preacher. And so the unbeliever asked Newton, he asked him to describe something that he thought would surprise him when he got to heaven. John Newton, in his earlier years in life, he had been a horrible man, particularly in his youth. He had been a slave trader. Actually, at one point, he had even been a slave himself. And John Newton replied to this unbeliever. He said, there's going to be three great wonders in heaven. He said, the first great wonder of heaven will be to see many people whom I didn't expect to see there. The second great wonder in heaven, he says, will be not to find many churchgoers whom I expected to see there. And he said, the third great wonder will be to find myself there, knowing of what I know of the wickedness of mine own heart. This afternoon, this message, I again would like to explore the Scriptures and see what Scriptures tell us about who will experience heaven, this reward that is for the faithful, and who will not be there. I have 3 points this afternoon as we think about the people of heaven. I want to first of all think about that heaven is exclusive. We want to think about the excluded, who will not be there, and then the included, who is going to be in heaven. And so, first of all, let's think about the fact that I believe heaven is a place that is exclusive. Have you ever attended maybe some kind of an event that was an exclusive event that you couldn't get into this event, unless you were on the guest list? You needed to have a special invitation to be there. Your name needed to be on that list or you would not get in. You know, sometimes we receive a mailing that there is this sale and it's an exclusive sale. You know, it's just for you. It's just because we invited you. Makes you really feel special, doesn't it? It's exclusive. Maybe it's a party. And a party, I think of parties as some, you know, big high-fluting party. You need to be on this special guest list or you can't come to this party. That generally don't include me anyway, but an exclusive. Thinking about exclusive. You get to the door, you can't get in. You have to prove your identity of who you are so that you can get in. It's invitation only. Maybe it's somewhat like our wedding receptions. You know, you go to a wedding, you know, probably anybody could walk into a wedding. You didn't need to be invited to the wedding, but you could walk in the door. But when you get to the reception, Well, there's no table for you if you're not on the list, right? I mean, it's kind of, in a sense, a little exclusive, isn't it? A wedding reception. I've already traveled and going through airports, and I see these sections in an airport where it's an exclusive lounge. They have a lounge there, and I don't know what it looks like inside those lounges. I'm picturing there's probably some really nice, soft, cushy chairs that you can sit there and wait and for your flight. But you can't get in those unless you have some special kind of pass. Again, it's an exclusive. You got to be that frequent flyer and whatever is involved to get into those. I'm not sure. Well, friends, this morning or this afternoon, heaven is the same way. It's a place that is exclusive. It's exclusive. Not everybody can get in. Your name needs to be on the list. Only those names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will get in the gates of heaven. Revelation 21 and verse 27, it says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Heaven is exclusive for those who are on the list, the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 20, verse 12, and it says, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And it says, the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." There is going to be books in heaven, and there is the Lamb's Book of Life, the Book of Life. Revelation 20 and verse 15, a few verses later, it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire." It's exclusive. Heaven is exclusive. If our name is not written in that book, the other alternative is the lake of fire. It's one or the other. It's one over the other. Friends, this afternoon, is your name written in the book? If it is not, there is no entrance. It's that simple. There is no guest list mistakes. There is no spelling errors. There is no bargaining at the gate of heaven. There's no way of buying your way into heaven. There's no negotiating. There's no back door that you can sneak in. You're either on the list or you're not on the list. Heaven is exclusive. And friends, this afternoon, the faithful are on the list. Heaven is for the faithful. There is going to be those who are excluded. And the Bible is very clear about what some of those exclusions are. In Revelation 21, verse 8, it says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." It gives here a list of 8 characteristics that will not make it into heaven. Those who possess these traits are excluded. It says the fearful will not make it into heaven. They are excluded from heaven. Some translations would use the term cowardly. Those who are apprehensive, those who lack confidence, those who turn their back from following Christ. It's the cowardly that deny Christ because of fear. We talked about being ashamed on Saturday night. It's those who are ashamed. They're cowardly. They will be excluded. Those who fear to stand boldly for Christ, lest they'll be ridiculed, They are the cowardly. They are the fearful. They are excluded. It says the unbelieving will be excluded. The faithless, those who refuse to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, those who deny the truth of His Word. John 3:18 says, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Those who are faithless, those who are unbelieving, they will be excluded. They won't be there. They will not be able to get in. The abominable. It says that's the idea of those who are polluted, those who have allowed themselves to become stained and contaminated by the filth and the evils of this world, those who pursue the styles of living that are contrary to the Word of God. The murderers won't be there, it says. They are excluded. Those who have a disregard for the value of human life, those who take human life, there's no place for them in heaven. They are excluded. But it goes beyond the physical murderer. In 1 John 3:5, it says, Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And it says, And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Those who have a hatred for someone, Whosoever hateth his brother. You know, it is possible that our hearts are filled with murder just by the anger within us, that hatred within us, to speak words that slay others. Murderers will not get there. Whoremongers will not be there. Another translation would say the sexually immoral, those who are involved in adultery and fornication and homosexuality and whoredom. And we could go on with a whole list of those impurities. The sexually immoral, there is no place for them in heaven. They are on the excluded list. But you know, it even goes farther than that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28 says, But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. It goes beyond the physical act. It's what's in the heart. Lust. There's no room in heaven. It's on the excluded list. The sorcerers, it says, those who use evil supernatural powers over people. Sorcery includes magic and spiritism and witchcraft and demon worship. And the Greek word that's used here even has the idea of a druggist or a poisoner, one who uses drugs. They're on the excluded list. Idolaters, it says, those who worship false gods, idols. An idol is anything that takes the place of God in your life or my life. It's not necessarily some kind of a stone that is set up. Sure, it would include that. But it could be our money. It could be our possessions. It could be people. It could be position. An idol. Something that takes the place of God. It includes those who are given over to covetousness and selfishness. In Colossians 3:5, it says, in covetousness, which is idolatry. Ephesians 5:5 says, For you know this, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. The excluded list. We are talking about the excluded list of heaven. And it also says the eighth one there in that list is the liars, those who practice falsehood, whether it's by our speech, what we say, or maybe by our silence, what we don't say. We can lie either way. It can be by our actions or it can be by not acting. Liars are on the excluded list. And we could go to other places in the Bible that give us exclusion lists. We could go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. It has a whole list of individuals, of characteristics that will not make it into heaven. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, it says. He goes on, he said, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. First Corinthians 6, 9-11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulteresses, or infamous, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, or covetous, or drunkards, and revelers, and nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Friends, these scriptures that we looked at here quickly, these scriptures assure us that not everyone will make it into heaven. If we fall into any one of these categories, if we carry these characteristics, we will not be on that exclusive list. We will be excluded from the presence of the Lord unless we have repented, unless we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. So we looked at the fact that heaven is a place that is exclusive. We looked at the list of those who will be excluded. They will not be there. Let's think about the included. Who is going to be there? Who is included? Who is on the list? Whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Revelation chapter 5. In verse 9, and if you can just picture this in heaven, it says, they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. There is those there sitting in heaven at the feet of Jesus. They're there before God. And it says they are out of every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, it says, After this, behold, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. What an awesome sight to behold. Think about that. It says they're going to be from all nations, which is the idea. Nations is all races, all tribes, all people groups, whether it's Americans or Israelis or whoever. All nations will be there, will be represented there. It says all kindreds. That would be offshoots or clans and tribes that are within a country or within a nation. Maybe we could say it's the Mennonites and all the other different groups. There's all kindreds, all offshoots and clans and tribes. It says all people, all groups of people, all tribes, nations. Maybe we could liken that to the Martins and the Mussers and the Zimmermans and the Groffs and the, you name it. All tongues, all different languages will be there. All dialects, particular people groups will be there. It tells us in Revelation chapter 7, verse 4, that all the tribes of Israel will be there. It says, And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Those who are going to be in heaven are those, again, as I said before, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 21:7. And there shall no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do we get our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Just because we say, Lord, Lord, doesn't mean we're going to get there. But it says, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He goes on, he says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we've cast out devils, and in thy name we've done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There is going to be those who say, we have done a lot of good things. We have done all of this great work. And Jesus is going to say, I don't know you. But he says, those who will be there are those that do. Those that do the will of the Father. Friends, that's the faithful. That's the faithful. Those who do. Those who follow God's word. Those who do what the Bible asks them to do. Those who are in heaven are those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's the believers. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Those who believe, it's for the believers. Romans 10 and verse 9, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We need to believe. We need to confess. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you are saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It's through faith. We take God at his word. We trust him. We believe him. We confess. And in faith, we put our faith in him. John 3:3, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. We need to have a born again experience in order to get into heaven, to be on that list. And Luke tells us we need to become as a little child. Luke 18, verse 17, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. We need to have the faith of a little child, that trust that a little child has. Heaven, it's for the believers, it's for the trusting, it's for the faithful, and it's for the overcomers. It's for the overcomers. Revelation chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, it says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They have walked, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Those who have overcome, those who have overcome, those who are living in victory, they have overcome sin. They will be in heaven. They will be clothed in white raiment. Their names will not be blot out of the book of life. In Revelation 21:7, it says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. This afternoon, the reward of the faithful is a place called heaven. I ask you the question this afternoon, is your name written in that Lamb's Book of Life? Is your name there? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you been cleansed by the precious blood of the Lamb? Are you an overcomer, one who is living in victory? If the answer to any of those questions is no, that can be changed here this afternoon. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is the day. If you have not been cleansed by the precious blood on the Lamb, today you can be. If you are not living in victory, you can become an overcomer today. If you're not sure if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you can be sure. This afternoon, we're going to sing an invitational song. If you know that your name is not there, and you want it to be there, if you want to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life today, I'm going to ask you to respond, to come front and kneel at the altar. Maybe this afternoon you're not sure. I'm going to give that same invitation to come forward. You can be sure. I invite you to come forward. Whatever is on your heart, we'll open it up. Whatever the Lord, if the Lord spoke to you something sometime this week, whatever it was, the altar is open this afternoon. We're going to invite you to come. Someone will come and pray with you. What is our invitational song this afternoon? 277.